You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Commissioned by the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Psychiatrics annual congress, they found that children growing up in disadvantaged homes are more likely to need antipsychotic medication. Do you agree that this is a case for New Zealand?
To be honest, I'm not an expert in prescriptions for psychiatrists and medication, but I can say that all the research worldwide and in New Zealand shows a clear link between mental ill health and poverty and disadvantage. I can't go so far as to say I don't have the expertise regarding prescriptions of psychotic medicine, but I do know and I'm sure there is an unarguable link between poverty and mental health problems, and that we can agree on.
And why do you say that? Why do you agree that there's an inarguable link?
Well, I think the research is clear. I think the research by the New Zealand Psychological Society is clear. And I think we know that for children living in poor neighbourhoods with poor nutrition, with inadequate housing, living in toxic stress, which might be called the pressure of doing without, those things together certainly create an environment where mental ill health is more likely. And I think that in a sense, all roads lead back to child poverty. The tentacles of child poverty reach out into so many areas of a child's life. So when we talk about child poverty, we're not just talking about a debate in a vacuum. We're saying this is a real issue that has significant bad effect on children, and mental ill health is one of them.
Research concluded that children were prescribed antipsychotics because of behavioural problems, low school achievement, and for repeating classes. In the future, do you think New Zealand will start following this procedure?
You know, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a medical expert. I can't tell you whether the answer is psychotic drugs or antipsychotic drugs, or the answer is better wraparound care, better family support. There are a number of approaches that the experts who prescribe medication will have to decide. I think generally what I can say as Children's Commissioner is we need to lift the environment and improve the environments in which children are living. That seems to me to be our number one starting point. It's why I'm so excited about the child poverty reduction legislation before Parliament, and that strikes at the heart of the issue. If we can lift a cohort of young people out of serious material disadvantage, we will see huge benefits, not just in living standards, but also in educational achievement, health issues, mental health issues. The effects are huge. So I think the right starting point, from my point of view as Children's Commissioner, is to say we've got to get good child poverty legislation in place that prevents its growth and reduces the number of children who are facing real hardship. That's got to be the starting point.
And with the recent budget that's coming up, I think, on Thursday, do you think the budget will help get these children out of poverty? As you said, you're trying to lift the educational achievements of these children and trying to get them to do better.
Oh, I absolutely hope so. I'm hugely optimistic that the budget will deliver a child-focused approach that will lift child well-being. That's what we've been talking about for probably 30 years. Successive governments, I think, have dropped the ball on this issue. We haven't prioritised children and their families as we should. I think this budget could be a beginning of a game-changing approach. It can't just be a one-off, but I hope it really focuses on child well-being, on housing for family. I hope it looks at benefit increases that have all been foreshadowed already, so we know what's coming in terms of the Working for Families package. But I hope it's not a one-off. It's got to be part of a systemic approach over the next 10 years.
In your interview with the New Zealand Herald, you said you're unsurprised that the research found that a large proportion of the children taking the medication were boys. Why were you unsurprised?
Well, actually, I was unsurprised with the Australian research generally and its link between poverty and mental ill health. I was unsurprised because that's what all the psychiatrists and psychologists in New Zealand say is the case. They say there's a clear link. In fact, I'd be surprised if the New Zealand research said anything different. We know that boys in particular are prone to risk-taking. We know that 80% of the people in the youth court are boys. We know that boys are more prone, with the frontal lobe still developing, to take high-risk decisions and behaviours that put them at risk. So in that sense, it's probably not surprising that they're the ones who, at least in the Australian research, bear the brunt of the mental ill health problems.
But do you think this could be like an over-representation, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. I mean, it would be great to get some expert research in New Zealand as well, but we know in many areas of risk-taking behaviour, that boys outnumber girls, and we know that.
And so do you think there's a possibility that perhaps the reason these children who are from disadvantaged backgrounds are experiencing behavioral problems because of the way our society and culture regards them? Could it be more so to do with the socioeconomic class and the fact that these children are feeling excluded and maybe has less so to do with mental health?
Yeah, I think there is something in that. I mean, there's something in the fact that children who live in great disadvantage and have high needs and experience family violence and transience, they're children who are often excluded or on the margins of our community. They're children who are not involved in sports, cultural or community activities. And to that extent, they are kids who may be more at risk of bullying or being bullies. They may be kids more at risk of not coping well in education. And we know that they're all factors that, to some extent, are behind our high rate, for instance, of youth suicide, which is the highest in the world. So, yeah, I think you're asking some good questions there.
And so why do you think New Zealand's been so late to help our children? Like you said, it's been 30 years in the process and we still haven't done. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, you'd say several things. I mean, certainly it wasn't always the case. For a long time when I was growing up, New Zealand was in a group that was often talked about with the Scandinavian countries, Denmark and Switzerland. We were a proud liberal economy that looked after children and families well. The global financial crisis and some of the budgets that followed, there was a real change. That's why I say in the last 30 years, rates of disadvantage and difficulty for children really doubled. And it's not to say governments did nothing. They dipped in and out of the issue, had sporadic attempts to lift cohorts of children out of poverty, but there was nothing sustained. To that extent, I think the ball was dropped by most governments, in fact, over the last 30 years. We could have done much better. What we need to do is prioritise children. And we've signed up to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. One of those is to halve poverty, including child poverty, by 2030. So we've got that goal in front of us. The current government's already said they want to do that by 2028. I mean, it's exciting. Whatever the wrongs of the past, and they're significant in the last 30 years, there's every reason to believe that whichever government was in power from now on, we could right those wrongs and fix them up, at least in the next 15 to 20 years.
And so do you have any other further comments or anything else you'd like to add on this issue?
No, I think it would be really interesting in New Zealand to get some expert research into use of prescription drugs for mental ill health, whether they're the right approach for children, whether there are other wraparound approaches involving families and communities. I mean, I'd be reluctant to buy into the debate that drugs cure everything. And I think the New Zealand Association of Psychologists and the Psychological Society have already made comments on that. So I don't think we want to plunge headlong into a prescribing culture. I think we want to be much more committed to a whole of life improving well-being approach that hopefully much reduces the need for drugs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.